Okay, we want to welcome everybody that's watching online this morning to Waldo Baptist Church to our Bible study. It's good to be in the Lord's house today. It's a beautiful day outside. Yes, it is. We thank the Lord for Mike and Beverly being able to be here today. We've been praying for them every day, and looks like the prayers worked because he looks good, she looks great. So that's a good thing. We're glad that they are with us today. That's a blessing in itself, and we're very grateful for that. Remember my sister in your prayers, if you would. She was in the emergency room till Friday night until 5 o'clock Saturday morning, and she has a pinched nerve in her back, and I have to take her to the doctor in the morning, but we don't know how this is going to work out because she couldn't even walk when they took her to the emergency room Friday evening. So remember her in your prayers, please, and all those on our prayer list. Have a lot of people that need our prayers, need the Lord's help right now, including Miss Debbie. It's good to be in the Lord's house with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Father, it's good to gather together in your house with one another and to realize that we're all here for the same reason. We have a risen Savior, and he has overcome death, hell, and the grave. And Father, we thank you for the blessedness of knowing him as Savior and Lord. Father, thank you for Mike and Beverly, and I pray you'll continue to bless and heal and comfort. We pray for him and pray for Debbie. We pray for Celesta Goins and Joyce Barnhill and Daryl and Delisa Bunning, my sister, my wife. Pray for the one that's in the hospital right now. I can't think of his name right now, but he's in Lourdes Hospital. Lift him, Dwayne Goss. Lift Dwayne Goss up to you in prayer. Diane, that you'd bless and watch over them. Be with all of our shut-ins, Miss Ray Kelly and Charter home over there, and bless and watch over her. All those that's not able to be with us today because of sickness. I know Chris Bone has COVID pretty bad. Lift him up in our prayers. And Aubrey and Garrett and Jennifer as well, we thank you for that. But there's a lot of folks that need your help, and we lift them up and pray for them and pray that, Lord, that your will be done, and we pray for healing and grace and comfort. Now, Lord, bless your word as we share it together, and may it quicken our hearts to realize that in our world today, there are those that would sow deceit, that would teach falsely, that would lead people astray, especially our children and our grandchildren. Lord, in this world in which we live today, we thank you for teachers in our schools that love the Lord and set an example for the students. We thank you for those in higher education that love the Lord and teach and set examples for our older young ones today. And all those in our churches around us that, Lord, that preach and teach the Word of God as it is to the people as they are with love and grace. Thank you for this day. Thank you for each one that's here today. Thank you for each one that's watching online. And we ask your blessing on them. And we ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus. And through his shed blood we pray. Amen. All right, I'm not going to spend any more time in the third chapter of 1 Timothy, actually, because Nate is preaching concerning our deacons right now, and you've had plenty, I know, on as we have looked at the qualifications for a elder or a pastor. We've gone through that several times, but I wanted to go to chapter 4 in 1 Timothy this morning. I want to go to chapter 4 for several reasons, but one thing stood out to me. It's been a few days ago that Kay and I had a visitor, someone that used to be a member of our church here at Waldo. And her granddaughter is a student at UK. In fact, she is going to be a lawyer. And the person that visited with us, that used to be a member of Waldo Baptist Church, was telling me about her granddaughter, who was raised in a Christian home, who was taught the Word of God, who made a profession of faith, who was baptized into the membership of the church, and now as a graduate student at UK, she came home and was talking with her grandmother, and her grandmother was talking to her about the Bible and about going to church and the Lord, and she said, "I don't believe that stuff anymore." She said, I just can't accept that. I don't believe that way anymore. And it just knocked my friend to the ground because of what she had said. And so a lot of times when we think about false teaching and false doctrines, we think about, well, this is happening in some non-denominational church or somewhere, a Christian school or somewhere else. No, my brothers and sisters, it's happening in public schools, it's happening in higher education. You take Harvard and Yale and different schools that were founded under Christian principles as a Christian school have departed from that so far to the left that you can't even tell that it was ever a Christian school at all. And so, and if we look at our world today and we look at what is going on around us, we want to look at what is said here in the fourth chapter of the book of 1 Timothy. Now, we know that Paul is writing to Timothy because of the problems in that church there at Ephesus. But what we will see and what he is wanting to make certain is that they understand that all these things originate from Satan himself. That these are demonic forces that are at work within our world using human beings to deceive and to lead people astray. Just think what a victory it is for Satan if he can take someone like this person's granddaughter and lead her to the place she is today. And so when we look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to look at, we'll read down through verse 5 at least, but especially the first three verses of chapter 4 in 1 Timothy. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits. Now, I need to stop there a minute and explain something to you. When it says latter times, it's talking about the last times, and that is where we are now. We are in the last times. From the first coming of Christ until the second coming of Christ, that is the last times. So when the Bible talks about the latter times or the last times, he's talking about the period of life that we're living in right now, okay? And when he talks about here departing from the faith, he's talking about departing from true doctrine. He's talking about departing from the truth of the Word of God. People that are being led astray, people that are being deceived. And let me say this too, before we go any further. This power is at work within our world and has increased exponentially since I can remember as a teenager. If I go back to the time I was a teenager, believe me, that's a long time ago. If I go back to when I was a teenager, first, we had what has been called the sexual revolution. The sexual revolution. And all of I would not doubt if you have someone in your extended family or family that thinks it's perfectly all right to have sex outside of marriage, to live together and not be married, and to go on in that type of relationship. It wouldn't surprise me at all, because that is taught today in every kind of system that we had, whether it be TV, radio, social media, everything that you can think of. It is given out as something that not only is acceptable, but is natural to mankind in our world in which we live today. And that is not true. And you think about the sexual revolution, you'll think, if it feels good, do it. That you have the freedom, whatever you decide is right, is right. You have no absolute truth, that you can decide for yourself what is right and what is wrong. And usually that is based upon your own feelings, not upon any set truth that we have as a standard that is given by, like, the Word of God. And so we see that happening. Hold on. And now then, what do we have? We have the gender transition going on in our culture today, where our children are being taught, if they feel like, if they're a male and they feel like they're a female, it's okay, you can be a female, or vice versa. In other words, no one knows who or what they are. That is a system that Satan has crept into our society and into our world. Homosexuality is not only acceptable, but promoted. Even in cartoons that your kids watch. You have to watch what your kids watch, even in cartoons today. Because things are being taught to your children in cartoons as acceptable that are absolutely unacceptable by the Word of God. Of course, when I grew up, you watched Woody Woodpecker, Bugs Bunny, and Wile E. the Coyote. And I can't remember anything bad about them, except the coyote never did catch the Roadrunner. And that's about it. But we see this has permeated every facet of our society today. And it goes back to the things that were happening in 1 Timothy here. And what does Paul say about it? He says, the Spirit clearly says that in these days, latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirit and things taught by what? By demons. Okay. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected. It is received with thanksgiving because it is consecrated by the Word of God and prayer. Now then, I want us to think about this for a moment. And I want you to think back to the sower in the parable of the sower. And I want you to think back to how that seed fell, because it's a very good explanation of what we see in our world today and what we see in our churches today. Some fell on rocky soil. Some fell on shallow soil. And it sprung up quickly, but then it died away. And that's what we see a lot of times in our churches and in our world in which we live today. There are people that, for the wrong reason, make a profession of faith, want to be a part of the membership of the church, but never, I've always said this, and I believe it with all my heart. Now, my heart is here. My head is here, right? We've got that right. Well, a lot of people miss heaven by that distance. They have a head knowledge of truth that never has changed their heart. They know the right words to say. They know the right things to do. But when the dry season comes, when trouble comes, when hard times come, when sickness comes, when heartache comes, or when temptation comes, and whether it is materialism or lust or whatever it might be, they are gone. And the reason for that is if the heart is never changed by the Holy Spirit, you will never be able to hold out. The heart has to be changed. And only God can do that. Only God can do that. So the scripture says they went out from us because they were not one of us. And if you want to see how long that has been going on and how serious that is, I'm going to take you back to a book in the Bible. Let me see. To Deuteronomy. No, I want to take you to... First of all, let's go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, and then we'll go to Deuteronomy. I'll give you time to get there because if you're like me, I don't get there as fast as I used to. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I can hear your pages turning. That's good. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 26, and I'm going to begin in the third verse. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother's name was Jecholiah. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. He sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. Now notice what all he did. He went to war against the Philistines, broke down the walls of Gath, Jabneh, and Ashdod, and he then rebuilt towns near Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines, and God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabs, who lived in Gerbaal against the Meunites. The Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread as far as the border of Egypt because he had become very powerful. Then what did he do? Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the angle of the wall, and he fortified them. He also built towers in the desert, dug many cisterns, because he had much livestock in the foothills and in the plain, and he had people working his fields and vineyards in the hills and in the fertile lands, for he loved the soil. Uzziah had a well-trained army. It goes on to talk about his victories. It goes on to talk about verse 12, the total number of family leaders over the fighting men was 2,600, and that was just the leaders. Under their command was an army. He had an army of 307,500 men. Okay, so we could go on and on and on as you do this. But look at verse 16. Look at verse 16. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. After Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Azariah the priest with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord followed him in. They confronted him and said, "It is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored by the Lord God." Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand, ready to burn incense, became angry, and while he was raging at the priests in their presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead, When Azariah the chief priest and all the other priests looked at him, they saw that he had leprosy on his forehead. So as they heard him out, indeed himself was eagerly, because the Lord had afflicted him. King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous and excluded from the temple of the Lord. Here is a man that became king at 16 years of age. Apparently everything was, he did all the right things. He went through all the right motions. He obeyed the Lord his God in the right time, at the right place. And yet apparently his heart was never changed. He was overcome by pride in his own life and set out to do something that God had strictly forbidden him to do, and leprosy broke out on him and he died excluded from the temple of God. What I want you to see is how seriously God takes people that rebel against his word and people that lead other people astray. I want you to see that. False teaching and following the devil's schemes. Pride is one of the worst things in the world that can happen to an individual. I always said that we were blessed here at Waldo Baptist Church because none of our staff had an ego. We all accepted each other as equal. In fact, we all accepted each other as better than ourselves. And that is important. If you really think you are someone, Satan already has a foothold. Now I want you to go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter, let's see where I want you. Deuteronomy chapter 13. I'm not going to get through much this morning, I can tell that right now. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 13. What does God think of those who would lead people astray and teach false doctrine and draw people into demonic schemes? 13. Verse 1, if a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you, announces to you miraculous sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder of which he has spoken takes place, and he says, let's follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him, what? With all your heart and with all your soul. It is a heart thing. That's what we want to understand. With all your heart and with all your soul. He said, it is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him. Serve him. Hold fast to him. That prophet or dreamer must be put to death because he preached rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. He has tried to turn you from the way the Lord your God commanded you to follow. You must purge the evil from among you. Now listen to this, verse 6. If your very own brother or your son or daughter or wife you love or your closest friends secretly entices you, saying, let's go and worship other gods, gods that neither you nor your fathers have known, gods of the peoples around you, whether near or far, from one end of the land to the other. Do not yield to him or listen to him. Show him no pity. Now listen, if this is your son or your daughter or even your wife, he says, do not spare him or shield him. You must certainly put him to death. Now listen, your hand must be first in putting him to death, and then the hands of all the people. stone him to death because you tried to turn, because he tried to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Then all Israel will hear and be afraid, and no one among you will do such an evil thing again. Now go on. If you hear it said about one of the towns the Lord your God is giving you to live in, that wicked men have arisen among you and have led the people of their town astray, saying, let us go and worship other gods, gods you have not known, then you must inquire, probe, and investigate thoroughly. And if it is true, and if it has been proven that this detestable thing has been done among you, look at verse 15, you must certainly put to the sword all who live in that town. Destroy it completely, both its people and its livestock. Verse 16, gather all the plunder of the town into the middle of the public square and completely burn the town and all its plunder as a whole burnt offering to the Lord your God. It is to remain a ruin forever, never to be rebuilt. What I wanted you to see is how seriously God takes those that would be controlled by demonic forces that would lead people astray from the truth of Almighty God. That's what Paul is warning Timothy about in the church there at Ephesus, because he's going to have to clear out some people that are causing division, that are causing false teaching, that is causing problems in the church there at Ephesus. So Paul is writing to Timothy. What did he do back over here in chapter 3? He gave them the qualifications for the officers that would be in the church, and he said, now you got to make sure that they meet these qualifications, because you're going to have to change things there. What's going on in that church is demonic. What's going on in that church is women trying to usurp the authority of the leadership that are men in the church, and these different false teachings are going on in the church. You've got to clear that out. Now, as I thought about this, I thought about how we have been blessed here at Waldo Baptist Church. We've had three pastors since 1977. Three pastors since 1977. And believe me, everyone has had to, we have had to know above everything else that they are absolutely doctrinally sound, changed by the Holy Spirit, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and love the Lord Jesus Christ above all else. And because of that, many of the problems that have stirred up and have divided and broken other churches have never happened here. We don't realize how blessed we are to have Nate as a pastor who is 100% sold out to the Word of God and preaches the Word as it is to people as they are. This has continued after my ministry with Brother Tread and now Brother Nate, and will always continue. As long, I got in the early service, I guess I would say I got in the early service late. I got here before Sunday school started, and I heard him teaching on the leadership within the local church. But this is a thing that I caught that I wanted to hear that was very important to me. It is the church that governs everything in the local church. It is the membership. It is the church that governs everything within the local church, that governs who the elders will be, that governs who the deacons will be, that governs the direction that the church is going. It is the membership that governs everything within the local church. That's why you are so important to Waldo. that it carries on. When I'm dead and gone, and that may not be long, when I'm dead and gone, who knows? But that has to be carried on. When Nate is gone, that has to be carried on. It has to be carried on by you and then your children and your children's children and your children's children's children if the Lord tarries. It has to be carried on, that it is doctrinally sound, and it will not, false teaching and doctrine will not be allowed to enter these walls. Absolutely necessary. I want you to see that, and we're going to go on through this chapter 4 looking at this and the various things in the scripture has to say about it tonight. But I wanted to get that started this morning and for you to understand how God sees this teaching, deception, and heresy that is going on in our world that is absolutely led by demonic forces. Don't get me wrong. Demons, Satan uses people to carry out his plan in our world in which we live today. People whose heart has never been changed by the Holy Spirit in our world today. And so that's why it is so important that in our schools, in our places of education, that we have teachers in them that love the Lord Jesus Christ, that will do everything. They can't preach the gospel. They can't teach the gospel. There are certain things that the law will not let them do, but they cannot, will not lead them astray. That is so important in our world in which we live today. Because believe me, our places of higher education, most of them have gone away from the truth. I mean, they are absolutely void of anything that has to do with the truth from the Word of God in our world in which we live today. And that's where you're sending, or you will be sending, or you have sent your children's children and your children's children's children in the days ahead. And so I just wanted to make that point to you this evening, and pray for that granddaughter that came home and told her grandmother she didn't believe that stuff anymore. That can happen to your children or your children's children, believe me. And public school is important. Christian teachers are more important, and homeschooling is a good thing. And make sure that they're in the Word. Amen? All right, let's pray together. Father, as we come before you this evening, we thank you that we do have a sure word from God, that we do have a risen Savior who sits at the right hand of the Father and rules and reigns this universe today, that is coming back again. And when he comes back again, he will set all things right. We thank God for that. We thank you that when we were like those who were astray, you broke into our dark lives, showed us Christ as our only hope, drawed us to him by the Holy Spirit. The goodness of God led us to repentance, and we became a new creation in Christ. We give you praise and glory for so great a salvation and for the Word of God that trains us, keeps us, lifts us, and helps us every day of our life. Bless the service to follow. I pray if there's anyone here lost,